So, hello, welcome to the Monday edition of the Pocket Gamer iPhone podcast. I'm your host, Rob Hearn. With me today are Fraser McInnes.
Hello, sir.
And Chris James.
Hello, sir.
They use the term sir to signify that this is the war-themed edition of the Monday podcast, where we'll be talking about some games involving conflict.
Exactly. And you should be known as Field Marshal Rob Hearn for the duration of this podcast.
Very good.
And there'll be Private Fraser, and I guess I'll just be, what's the Field Marshal?
Nothing. The Prime Minister.
Brigadier.
I'll be a Brigadier.
Field Marshal's above Brigadier.
Brigadier James, I'll put it up.
Okay, Field Marshal is the top.
Fine, you'll be the top, but I'll be a Brigadier.
Okay.
I'm only a private, that's pathetic.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
You're basically Baldrick in this situation.
Yeah.
I'm Lionel Jeffries, who only appeared in one episode. And Chris is Moucher. Right, so the games we're talking about are Battle Blaster, which is obviously war-themed, Trenches, very war-themed, and the Hilarious Vikings?
The Horrible Vikings.
Horrible Vikings.
It's kind of warring, pillaging themed.
They pillage. They love to pillage. What is pillaging?
It's pillaging sort of
it's just
chaotic theft. Is it ransacking?
Yeah, it's just like it's like raping and pillaging. So just pillaging is just is nicking stuff and running away, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's what they do.
Is it? I think it's a combination between vandalism and theft.
Oh.
I don't know. I just plugged that out the day. I'm looking it up right now.
The Vandals, that's where. Vandalists. there was a group of tribe of people called the Vandals, wasn't there? That's where it comes from.
It's a tribe, yeah, and the Visigoths.
The Visigoths.
The Vandals.
Who used to kind of wear black makeup and moon around to Morrissey.
Apparently.
I've got the dictionary definition
Millwall,
here.
The Millwall supporters, that's another one.
Ooh.
Pillage. To strip ruthlessly.
You're going
of
home
money
in
or
what goods.
Go on. Pillage. Give
pillage.
Us
to strip ruthlessly of money or goods by open violence, as in war. Plunder. The barbarians pillaged every conquered city.
Fantastic.
Go. Nice.
Well, we'll be pillaging and pillaging our the games of the App Store today, then, I guess.
That's
yes.
Right.
So we've got these three games. I think let's all introduce one each we have done in the past.
Okay. What do you want to introduce, Rob? Field Marshal Rob, you're in charge.
I believe I shall introduce Trenches, since my memories of that time are so vivid.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yes, very, very good. Where are you again? Brigadier.
I'll introduce the horrible.
I don't operate comfortably within a metaphor. I'm a very literal person.
I'm going to introduce the horrible Vikings, I think, because my uncle was, in fact, Odin, the Norse god.
Fair enough. So he must be very proud.
Yeah.
I will. In that case, I'm gonna be left with Battle Blaster, which is fine. I can introduce that. I'll do that. Cool.
Okay.
So, what are you going with first, Field Marshal?
Let's begin with Trenches. Trenches, the review of which has actually gone live this morning, written by our own Lieutenant Tracy Erickson. I said Lieutenant because he's American.
I see what you did there. You're getting into this now, aren't you? I can tell you're actually getting into this a little bit.
Yeah.
That's good.
Although I do argue with my girlfriend, because I insist on calling British ones lieutenants as well. She doesn't like this.
Lieutenant, surely.
Well, that's what she says. But I, for some reason, we argue about this. I don't know why. Sometimes I just have to be
Your home life is fascinating.
It is. It's good. She has gone to Tesco. Right. So let's talk about Trenches. Trenches is a World War I based game with quite cartoony graphics in which you have to make your way left to right across what looks like a system of trenches, kind of going down into the trenches, coming out of them, crossing barbed wire. You have to avoid mustard gas. You have a sniper rifle, you have mortars, you have a machine gun. So basically, you have the weapons that were available to you in World War I, And you were fighting against the Germans, and you play as the English. As Tracy pointed out in his review, this is fairly myopic. It's limited because, of course, World War One, or the Great War, as it's also known, involved lots of other parties, the French, the Belgians, the Russians, and indeed the Americans. But never mind that. It is it's fine. Tracy gave it a 7 out of 10 because he quite likes it, and he thought it deserves an award. It's a strategy game which, when I go on to talk about it, you're going to reveal that I didn't get anywhere near as into it as Tracy did. So it's a good job that we're going to talk about Tracy's verdict later on. But that's about it, really. It's kind of resource management. You've got to manage what guns you buy. You make money for killing people and for making progress across the screen. Okay. And so it's a kind of action strategy game with slight line drawing elements. If you like, I can begin to give you my verdict. I'm timing myself, aren't I? I mean,
should I go first and you can round it up, or? Whatever you think, Field Marshal. We'll follow your plan.
How dare you?
I'm breaking rank.
Damn it!
How did I make myself lower than the food chain? I've ruined this. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, at least you could have said you're a prime minister.
Yeah.
Okay, Brigadier. Now that I think of it, it is more sensible for junior officers to advance first, because obviously their lives are worth less. So, so if you would be so good, Brigadier, I will press start on my iPod Touch.
Fantastic. I'd just like to say that I love the way you stressed the Americans being concerned about the myopic representation of world wars. That's fantastic. Some sort of irony in that. Anyway, I really like this game. I thought it was the graphics kind of reminded me of old games like Cannon Fodder and the great classic kind of war games that there were strategy war games on other formats. I think the controls worked quite well. It's a bit confused initially. I didn't obviously read the instructions, and my guys just kept marching across the bottom. Wasn't sure what I was supposed to do with them, and then I worked out that you had to kind of position them kind of drag a line to where you want them to go. I didn't realise initially either that you could scroll the screen, so it kind of went, what the fuck's going on? And people just wandered off the screen and then seemed to be dying. It's like, that's odd. I like the way it was set up. I thought that the controls were good. I thought the variation of weaponry worked quite well, and you could definitely have different tactics where you'd work out, you send up a lot of the troops up the front, and then you could have snipers behind them and machine gunners behind them, you also have this great thing called, there's a field commander or something that goes in, and you position her around troops and you give them extra power. That works well.
Uh-oh.
Is that my minute up?
Yeah, and it played marimba instead of...
That was a machine gun marimba. Overall, I liked it. But I liked it. Didn't say enough about what I wanted to say, but I liked it.
Okay. Permission to speak freely, sir.
Permission granted, Private.
Great mustaches. Really, really good mustaches in this game. And I mean that sincerely. I think that this game's got some serious character, and the moustaches are a large part of that, in a totally non-Mario sort of a way. I enjoyed it a lot. I really like the character. I really like the game's sort of charm. It's got really sort of, like as Chris mentioned, sort of cartoony graphics. And I did have the same problem as Chris as well, in that I wasn't aware straight away about how you actually move the screen along, so I had you know, the problem with characters wandering off screen and dying. But once you figure that out, it's really enjoyable. It's a really, really cracking little game. It's got quite a steep learning curve, I found. I died quite a lot at the outset, but when you get the hang of it, it's really good fun. I really, really, really like the graphics and the settings. It's got there's a good juxtaposition between these cartoony characters, and then you've got these quite sort of almost pretty sort of European backgrounds with, you know, silhouettes of churches and things, and that's really good. And just generally okay.
Sound of gunfire there.
Got rid of Fraser.
Rolling across, yes. He's done for rolling across No Man's Land signifies the end of Fraser's bit. What's that called when you fire? Like a series of shots.
A volley. Salvo.
No. It's that you'd fire ceremonially.
Oh,
salvo?
10-gun salute?
No, it's one word and it's French sounding. It sounds a bit like enfilade. Enfilade fire, of course, is fire straight down a trench, which is why trenches were built in a kind of zigzaggy form to prevent enfilade fire. Yeah. But there's another word that sounds fusillade.
Fusillade.
Okay. Fusillade of bullets.
Gunshots. Now.
My God.
You just learned two words, you lucky bastard.
Pillaging and fusillade. Okay.
And presumably enfilade.
Enfilade as well.
Which is even more obscure. Yeah, okay. So I'm going to start myself. Okay. And I'm going to start talking about it. Right about now. Okay, yeah. So I shared your views. I didn't have so much of a problem with the scrolling. It said, it went right when you start the game, it says in very bright white letters, touch the sky to scroll. And using that as a cue, I was able to very quickly work out what to do. But I do think that actually, while playing the game, it becomes confusing. You have to work out that you need to scroll the sky instead of the ground. And you, quite often, you'll be trying to scroll the ground, and then you'll go, oh, yeah, the sky. And it's a bit fiddly sometimes. It's a bit fidgety. I think that I agree with everything you said, really. I think that like the way it works and the controls are a bit kind of spongy, but you get used to them. And the way the whole game works about kind of putting troops in different places is surprisingly deep once you get into it. But what I think it lacks is a map. I don't like the fact that you can only see a little bit of the screen at a time. And so you have to, you have to sort of remember where people are and scroll back and forth looking for them. I didn't think that was that worked all that well. But apart from that, I think it's quite solid.
You timed that nicely.
I am perforated.
Okay, yeah. So
I'm at an advantage timing-wise because this kind of strict minute. I can't time and do this and hold my finger over the button. So I've just got to watch the clock ticking down.
Okay.
But I've tried to do the same with you guys as well. Just employ a bit of sensitivity, let you finish what you're saying, and then out comes the Uzi.
Okay. Fair enough. So what are we giving? How many stripes are we giving this? We're giving it a. Or how many medals? Are we giving it a medal or
medal
is it commendation
valor,
or a dishonorary discharge? A watery discharge. What are we talking about?
Oh dear. There is no word more disgusting in the English language than the word discharge. I'm sorry, it's just the most horrendous word ever.
Well, I think watery discharge is slightly better than milky discharge, then.
That is. I think I give us a commendation. I think it's great. I definitely will be playing this more after this, so I like it a lot.
I would give it the rank of staff sergeant, but I would not give it a battlefield commission. It is not an officer. This game is not an officer. But it is a very high-ranking non-commissioned officer.
It gets a Purple Heart from me, but no Medal of Valor.
Is Purple Heart is because you're injured?
No, Purple Heart is bravery, I think, is it not?
I don't know. Isn't that the Victoria Cross? I thought the Purple Heart's because when you're injured.
Like, I didn't know what it was when I said that. I just knew that it was military-related and good, all right? I didn't expect it to be picked apart. So I give it a Purple Heart, meaning good.
Okay. I'm looking it up just in case I'm wrong, which is highly unlikely.
Oh, God, honestly.
Yeah, it's given to people who are wounded or killed.
Right, okay.
So there we are then. So that's quite good. It's what? How much does this cost? I really like this bit. Working out how much it costs and, well, deciding how much it costs and whether it's worth it. And I think all three games this week are cheap, actually. Two of them I know are $119 and one of them is $179. The distribution of those three prices across the three titles, I forget. But they're all under £2 this week, so they're all quite cheap. And I think this is worth it.
Well, I think I'd buy this. Trenches is $119.
Okay, yeah. That's a fair asking price, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah.
That's cheaper than a bottle of Pepsi Max at a service station.
Other soft drinks are available.
Indeed. But they're not as nice. Is that in the rules? I don't know. So what's next? We could talk about Battle Blaster. Let's talk about Battle Blaster. So
Battle Blaster, sir?
Have
yes,
less
sir.
To say about this than about the Vikings.
Permission to introduce the game, sir?
Please do, Brigadier.
Thank you very much, sir. Battle Blasters is a battling game. I'm trying to think of the word, really. It's kind of like a one-on-one fighting game in a futuristic arena. It kind of, the aesthetic, it reminds me of Brutal, what was it, like a Speedball 2. It's an old game where you used to have people bashing the hell out of each other in this kind of metallic arena. And it's like kind of games that you've sometimes seen in dodgy sci-fi films where there's two people firing balls of light at each other or whatever. And you've effectively got one guy at the top, one guy at the bottom, and you kind of fire various weaponry at each other. Like you get these powerful shots, more rapid shots that are less powerful but obviously move quicker, special attacks, blocks, all sorts of things. And it's kind of action and strategy in that you're trying to inflict more damage on your opponent than he inflicts upon you. Moving left and right, dodging, sort of bouncing shots back, and just trying to rob them of their health before they do you. It's quite simple in that the controls are pretty simple, a little bit close together. I'll talk a bit more about that when I do my appraisal. It's campaign mode whereby you start as one character and then you go on and battle a series of other people in the same sort of beat 'em up style. There's multiplayer in there as well. There's options to change characters and a lot of new characters. That's pretty much it, really. I think that's kind of sums it up. I think that's done the...
Yep, done the job.
So the graphics are quite nice, as I would say. Quite nice little stylish graphics. So who shall I hand over to, sir, for their...
Private McInnes, why don't you begin?
Okay, sure thing. Sorry, that was a bit too informal, wasn't it? Yes, sir.
Give me 20. Right. Yes, you may commence now.
Okay, I don't know how much of the single player campaign of this game I would actually play. I do think it's enjoyable. I think, you know, Chris is right. There's a tactical element. It's sort of, you know, it's essentially real time and it's action orientated, but there's a tactical element in that you've really got to try and, you know, outwit your opponent as much as you can. You can't just aimlessly just fire at them constantly. So that's really good, and I think that type of gameplay lends itself to multiplayer really, really well. And the great thing about the multiplayer is that it's two people on one device, so it's perfect kind of thing for if you're kind of bored on a train with a friend, and one person takes the top half of the device, the other person takes the bottom half, and you can play on the one screen. I really, really like games that do that, and I think this is a perfect sort of gameplay for that. I do think that maybe the game could do with more moves and more types of attack. Maybe if there was like some sort of icon-based selectable power-ups, that would be really cool. But the controls are nice and intuitive, and I really like how you can rebound your opponent's attacks. And again, I found this to have a steep learning curve too. Maybe I'm just cack-handed and simple, but I really found that it took me a good few attempts to even get past the first level. But it was a good game. A good game.
Okay. there we are. I'll go now, shall I?
Yep.
Okay. So, Battle Blasters. I didn't actually play the multiplayer, but from hearing Fraser describe it, I think it sounds enjoyable. Yeah, more fun than the single player. I agree with Chris about the graphics being stylish. It's got a very kind of retro sensibility in sound and appearance. Obviously you play these two dudes. It's a weird cross between a beat 'em up and a shoot 'em up. To beat them up with bullets where you can't actually touch each other. And the game mechanic, I think, it's a little bit blunt. It kind of, even though I liked it, and this is going to sound very unfair, it sort of reminded me of when you're a kid and you go into an arcade and you see a game you've never played before and you play it for a bit and it's crap. For some reason, it just gave me that same feeling. It was just a bit too blunt. It was too much just chucking stuff at your opponent until they die. Without much subtlety. You can build subtlety into it, into how you play, and you can become better or worse, but I do think it's a bit blunt. It needs more moves, it needs more weapons, it just needs more to it, because as it stands, it's just a little bit like throwing someone at something until they crumple. Okay, and that's my verdict.
Good timing. Right then, permission to give verdict, sir?
You may commence in 2-1, proceed.
I agree with pretty much what everybody else has said so far, and not just because I'm getting extra rations this evening, if I say so. I actually think the idea is great, and I actually kind of... The controls kind of work okay when you get used to them. I think initially, and certainly now, occurs now and again, I find that because there's so many moves and inputs in one quite small space, like clicking on the character, clicking back from the character, pushing forward from the character... And left and right, you can often end up doing the wrong thing, or the in your particular move you want not being recognised, which is a bit annoying. I think there's a little bit more to it than just pushing, firing. Certainly as you progress through it, you need to be a bit more tactical. You need to use blocking and special weapons at different times. Although early on, definitely, you can just keep hammering. The more times you fire, the more chances you've got of winning. Generally, I thought it was quite nicely polished and well produced for what it does. And I haven't seen anything quite like this, so I think it's quite a new concept. It's kind of like beat 'em ups meet air hockey sort of thing. I like it.
Very good.
Thank you very much, sir.
Air hockey, yeah, that's a good comparison.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
So that's that.
Mission to glow with pride, sir.
granted, but in not on duty. So that's all pretty positive. This is the most expensive of the three games at £1.79. doesn't make it expensive, but it's the most expensive of the three. And I would arguably it's the thinnest of the three, but I still like.
I think the multiplayer justifies the extra 50p, maybe. No?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I haven't played it, but just as soon as you said it and you described it, because I hadn't gone anywhere near the multiplayer, and as soon as you described it, I thought, God, yeah, actually, I can imagine that. So yeah. Probably that makes it.
Yeah, no, I think so.
Okay. Definitely.
So I think it could be better, but I think it's worth playing. I also think that I appreciate this rationing, sir, and times are tight in a war, but I don't think £1.79 is an exorbitant amount of. I think you get your money's worth there.
Yeah,
my feeling anyway.
Definitely.
Yeah. So overall,
that's a thumbs. At least 45 degrees.
that's a thumb sideways. Or to slightly upwards.
I prefer it.
It's 45 degrees. It's diagonally. It's exactly halfway between horizontal and vertical.
Permission to die the shame, sir.
Yes, permission granted.
I certainly prefer it to trenches. I like trenches, and I like this even more.
Yeah, I prefer it to trenches.
Yeah.
Okay.
So finally we have the Horrible Vikings.
The Horrible Vikings, not so aptly named. I think it's they're the very lovely Vikings. Not that their behaviour's lovely, but the game is. Basically, if you've ever played any of those games, Digital Chocolate had one, Johnny Catapult or something, I can't remember what it was called, where you basically, the aim of the game is to hurl a character into the air and then keep them in the air for as long as possible. But this game has basically taken that format and just, they've made a game out of it. It's less of a kind of a throwaway distraction and more of a game, and that there are different objectives throughout the different stages. So it might be that you have to, for example, one of the stages has you landing on cages with cats in them to free the cats. There's other things that you can do. You can, many of the locations are populated with ninjas, and you can pull off like a sort of special move where you swipe down the way to kind of do a butt smash or something, or a butt slam, where you basically come down on them rear end first to kill them. So there's various objectives like that in the game. And the other aspect of it is that it's got a sort of, you know, there's like a leveling system where you can buy upgrades, you can buy new ships, so you can travel to different locations and you can buy various different types of power-ups so that your actual, you know, in-game performance is improved. So when you're catapulting the Viking through the air, you can move further, or you can bounce harder, and all sorts of different things. And that's about it, really. It's got beautiful cartoon graphics, a cool funky little narrative, and a Viking theme. So that's the Horrible Vikings.
Okay. Who's going to begin? Is it your turn to begin? Have you begun? Or is it mine? No, I haven't begun. I'll begin.
Well, I don't think I should begin because I introduced it. So.
Yeah, that's right. I think I haven't begun yet, so I'll begin. Let's just get the clock up. Okay, there it is. I did say clock up. And, yeah, so the Horrible Vikings, I think, as Fraser said, it's a much more padded out version of other games that resemble this, in which you catapult somebody into the air and then need to somehow manipulate their path, their trajectory. I think the weaknesses are, and I'm just going to go straight into them, is because there are lots of positives, and Fraser's already mentioned them, and I'm sure he'll say some more. The weaknesses are, I think there's lots of dialogue which you can speed up, but which isn't very good. I mean, it's kind of charming in a way, I suppose, but it's a bit corny, and I found myself quite frustrated, and I get frustrated generally by games with lots of dialogue. I can't be arsed with it. And in this game, it was particularly so. So that kind of gets in the way, gets between the levels and spoils it a bit. But I think in terms of the gameplay, the problem is that it's difficult to be strategic about where you fire things because you don't have it. Like trenches, I think it needs some kind of map so that you can see where you are and you can judge your trajectory better, because it tended to be the case when I was playing that I would fire a shot, see what happened, and then base my next shot on that. But because the levels are so big and there's so much going on in them, it wasn't as simple as it is in other games where you do that kind of thing, like Worms, for example. But generally, I think it's very good. And here comes the machine guns. Okay.
Okay.
So who's next?
Permission to offer opinion, sir.
Granted.
I'm going to stop playing this game I'm playing at the moment, which is the other one. I enjoyed it initially. I thought the presentation of Fraser was great. I thought the way they fleshed it out, like Fraser said, was definitely great. There's lots of they've really expanded on this concept. I used to like Johnny Crash, the series, anyway.
That's the last I can remember.
But I really quite enjoyed those. I kind of enjoyed those because they were simpler, I think, and I think the mechanic worked well. I found the controls, I didn't really enjoy I the controls that much. I found that I didn't really feel as in control of this as I used to feel in terms of Johnny Crash. I thought it was almost too many things to do with him, like the butt bounce and then the guy that throws rocks at him. I'm not really sure what the point of it is. It doesn't really seem to do anything apart from reduce his health. And it was a bit hit and miss. And I also found sometimes when I was tweaking it to try and judge his flight, I completely flipped the screen around upside down, which was annoying. So the thing flipped upside down halfway through the game. And I just didn't, I think it's very polished, and I think it does what it does very well. I personally didn't enjoy it enough to keep on playing much more. And I did get really annoyed by the speech, the incessant introductions, which is long, lots of text.
Okay.
Ow, 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 ow. That's the delayed reaction, clearly.
Okay.
Some sort of...
So, my turn. Okay. Rob, are we ready?
Oh, yes, it's your turn. Okay, yeah, go.
Well, the first thing I have to say is I'm really surprised that both of you guys didn't like the in-game dialogue, because I think this is some of the finest that I've come across in a game of this type. It's really self-aware and really, really laugh-out-loud funny in places. Like, for example, there's a brilliant instance near the start where one of the characters is explaining how you do something. He says, you tilt the iPhone this way. And one of the other characters goes, what's an iPhone? And the other character just goes, never mind. And I just thought it was really clever and quite self-aware and funny. And there's quite a lot of kind of examples of that throughout the dialogue that I think is really quite endearing. I love the gameplay. I just think it's not just the gameplay. The visually, this is a really, really charming game. I love, for example, like when you actually complete a level and your Viking does a sort of, like, he throws a devil horn salute and kind of he's on fire and he's head banging, and it's just kind of really sort of, it's just really charming. And it's just I think, you know, the reason I can't bring myself to say anything really that negative about this game is that I loved Johnny Crash, and this game just takes that formula and improves upon it tenfold. And I just think it's a really, really, really accomplished game. I think they've gone as far as they can go with this genre now, and that's quite an achievement. So, yeah.
Hey, you got him, sir.
Okay. So it sounds like there's it's kind of sounds a bit like it's 2-1 there. Fraser likes things about it that both Chris and I dislike. In particular, the dialogue. Yeah, I mean, I was reading it thinking, it's just not quite there. It's like, it was, you're right, it was kind of self-knowing, but then it was like too self-knowing. Like, it didn't spend enough time trying to convince you that the characters believed that they were in a situation before they started dropping jokes about it being like, oh, there's a checkpoint. What's a checkpoint? Oh, this is what's an iPhone? I don't know. I just thought they laid it on a bit thick. And it all came across a bit corny, but I don't like I never read stuff in games, basically.
Yeah.
So because of that, I think
I didn't think that the dialogue was bad. I agree with your phrase. There were some quite amusing moments in it. I just think there's too much of it. I mean, I think it was okay to get initially in the training level a bit, and then now and again. Maybe it's better at the end of the level at the start, because you just kind of want to get into it sometimes. And I just think I end up having to click through a lot of kind of screens. I guess it goes back to reminds me of things like Final Fantasy or whatever. You have to go through, you have to click about 50 times before you actually got through a set piece. I just think it was too. It wasn't. If there's a little button saying skip all this, maybe there was, but I didn't see it. That would have solved the problem for me. But the fact you couldn't seem to, you had to keep clicking through and hear the. I didn't. Yeah, really like so much. So.
Nonetheless, I think we can all agree that it was kind of polished.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, pretty good. But I guess I probably wouldn't buy it because of all the reasons I've said. Although I do think there are good things about it.
I think you'd enjoy it. I think a lot of people would enjoy it. I think it just wasn't my particular cup of tea. I don't know. Won't speak for you, Fraser. Rob.
Yeah.
Phil Marshall.
It's right that it's a much more elaborate version of Johnny Crash.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And whether or not that's to its detriment or to its credit is up for debate. So that's it. Those are the games we've been playing this week. Also, I'll tell you what, on a side point, the other game I've been playing an awful lot of this week is Bejeweled 2, which is ancient, and the only slight sliver of relevance is that quite recently the Bejeweled Blitz update came out, which is you get to play for 1 minute and upload your scores to Facebook, and that is the only version of Bejeweled 2 I play. It's the only mode, and it is ridiculously addictive. It's like it manipulates you so well. It reminds me of you ever seen the film Steel Magnolias?
No, I haven't seen that film. No.
Okay. Well, this is a kind of a spoiler alert, but it's an old film, so you know you can spoil them.
Is it a war flying film?
No. This is just a metaphor.
Okay.
But there's this sequence in that film where the Julia Roberts' character, who's the daughter of Sally Roberts, whatever she's called. She she's really beloved by her mother, and she's got diabetes, and she really wants a child. And her mother says she shouldn't have the child because it might kill her, but she has a child anyway. And then she goes into a coma, and then she's in a coma for ages, and all her family are gathering around, and they're really close family. Then eventually Julia Roberts dies. As soon as she dies, Sally Field just leaves the hospital. She goes off, and she gets the child from where she's staying with a relative, and there's this shot of the kind of child like toddling along a pavement, and it's so sugary, but so it manipulates you, your emotions so well that just all of the scenes are perfectly judged to make you kind of go, ooh. And then so this time, then it's the funeral, and then suddenly at the funeral, Sally Field, who up until this point has been really quite withdrawn, suddenly just explodes with fury, and there's this really kind of disliked character in the film called Weezer, who's still part of the friendship group, but they all dislike her, and Sally Field's character just explodes and goes, oh, I'm just so angry with the world, and you're watching it going, ooh, in floods, and then Olympia Dukakis, another one of Sally Field's friends, says, hit Weezer, and then you laugh. And then they all kind of start laughing. And when that happens, your head just explodes with snot and tears, basically. And it's like the perfect... When I watched it, I was thinking, this is the perfect manipulation of emotions. And Bejeweled 2, if anybody's seen that film, is like that, but for gameplay.
Well, there we go. That's
Bejeweled,
so beautiful.
2, Bejeweled 2 Blitz. Not the game itself, but Bejeweled 2 Blitz, the Facebook one. It's just... I cannot imagine a more successful manipulation of somebody's kind of casual game playing impulses, like the frequency with which it rewards you, the balance of randomness and skill, the fact that you get 1 minute a try, so every time a game ends you think, well, I'll just play another game because it's only going to last 1 minute, and like the urgency with which that time limit builds into it is the most stupidly addictive game I've ever played, and it's perfectly
permission to interrupt you, sir, because you've gone on about it for quite a long time.
Go on.
Just should we get on to the review, sir, of the other games?
Are we not supposed to sum up what of the three games?
Oh,
we
God,
talked
yeah.
about are our favourite?
What's sorry, which is our hero game of the week, I guess.
We didn't
war,
get to
which
do that,
is the war hero.
And we didn't even decide whether or not the Horrible Vikings got thumbs up from any of us, did we?
Did we not?
Well, it was kind of a thumbs up technically, I suppose, for me. Like a sort of thumbs up with reservations technically, but on an emotional level, I didn't connect with it.
You basically give him a promotion, but not on your unit, sir.
Yeah, exactly.
You're
making him a pen pusher, but I'm getting
him off. You're on
farm
with
back.
This metaphor, Chris.
I thought I could see how people would like it, and I thought it was a good game. I just didn't personally float my boat, as it were. And there is a boat in it, so it's a different metaphor. But it didn't quite hit it for me. But I could see there's a lot of love gone into it, and I think the polish is good, but it's definitely worth a try, but it didn't really do it for me.
Okay, so it's thumb sideways. No prizes for guessing my my take on it. It's divine, straight from Valhalla. Two thumbs up. Loved it.
Fantastic. So, over our overall recommendation, then, do you pick a favourite game? I mean, I'd if I was given permission to speak out of turn, sir, I'd probably up for Trenches this week, sir.
Or Battle Blasters. It'd be Battle Blasters for me.
And it's the Horrible Vikings for me. So we're split three ways.
In which case, I'll reaward my mine to Battle Blaster, I think, sir. I think I'll support you on that. I want my pay. That's cool.
Okay, so right, so let's run through the reviews of the last week. Last week we didn't have a chance to do this because Fraser was in his Sub-Zero car, and the battery in his laptop ran down. So there is a week's worth of reviews we didn't cover, but we'll just leave those out, and we'll start with where do we start on the 8th of January, I guess.
Okay.
Everything from the 8th of January. That's last Friday. Should we take this in turn?
We should do. Okay. We could do. Let's do that.
Okay. So I'll start. Funky Ball Worlds, reviewed by Tracy Erickson. An 8. Very impressive. Excellent. It's it is a kind of casual puzzly game. Looks very interesting, nice cartoony presentation. Excellent design ensures there's nothing funky with the gameplay in this simple, enjoyable platformer. Tracy, of course, using the word funky in its early 20th century sense to be smelly. So that's Funky Ball Worlds. Looks good.
Parcel Panic, Postcar Racing 3D. It's a racing game. Reviewed by Damien McFerrin. And he gave it a bronze award, 7 out of 10. And his sum up words were, this unique take on the racing genre owes a significant debt to Sega's Crazy Taxi and is a enjoyable romp, limited by the single map and noted repetition. So good game, but a little bit limited. 7 out of 10.
Okay, the next game is Tipoli. Is it Tipoli or Tipoli?
Tripoli, couldn't it? It would be a war theme.
Say Tipoli.
Tipoli. Okay. Tipoli, 6 out of 10, no award. Tipoli is an original concept for a puzzler, though it isn't entirely successful. Though it isn't entirely successful, let down ever so slightly by levels that are more a chore than charming. That's a bit of a mouthful. But yes.
Okay.
Oh, somebody at my door. Sorry. Carry on. Two seconds.
Okay. I will carry on with Bridge Odyssey. Reviewed by John Jordan and given a 6. It is like Tiki Towers or World of Goo, kind of casual architecture game. We have to build bridges for things to get across. It's by Gameloft. The things you have to get across the bridge are different animals. It looks very, very reminiscent of Loco Roco. 6 out of 10, Bridge Odyssey is a good-looking game, but it's let down by its complex and frustrating control method. So, despite it being by Gameloft and by being based on two very successful games, it somehow doesn't work. It's just surprising.
Okay.
Okay, so...
The Inferno is something else that came out this week, reviewed by John Mundy, and it's from Java Ground. And I think it's a puzzle game that's kind of loosely based on Dante's Inferno, in that you've got a goad character around a hellish environment avoiding things. We gave it 6 out of 10, John Mundy gave it, and his summation was, while Inferno's brand of fiendish maze running possesses a stripped-back old-school charm, clunky controls and poor animation place the game in a frustrating state of purgatory. I see what he did there. He referred to purgatory, which was related to the Inferno.
Indeed.
Good. Do you want to go with Ducati?
Yeah, I'll take Fraser's place and I'll go with Ducati Moto. This is a motorcycle racing game. Oh dear. An intriguing multi-layer track has little to salvage the wreckage of terrible driving mechanics, poor graphics and awful controls. This would be a duffer on the Game Boy. A 3 out of 10. Oh dear.
Ooh, we didn't enjoy that then. Fair enough. Starting with Little Metal Ball, is a game from Debacle. It's kind of a rolling a ball around a screen type game, and sort of like a monkey ball type thing, labyrinth type thing. Keith Andrew reviewed it for us, and he gave it a 6 out of 10. And his words were as follows. Big, bold, and especially bright. No one can fault Little Metal Ball when it comes to creativity, but quantity does not equal quality, and the game's massive levels are too large to enjoy. So there you go.
Okay.
So, Fraser, your Kingdom of... Yeah.
Yes, yes. Sorry about that. Had to answer the door to our Polish neighbours who bring round our post. Because the postman's too stupid to deliver it. Dumber than a trench pony. Okay, next game. Battleships Sea on Fire. Reviewed by Spanner Spencer. Failed to get an award as well. Just a 6 out of 10. A lot of sixes this week. A good conversion of a classic board game, but the lack of multiplayer or other variations on a very old theme make it difficult to get excited about this latest in a long line of digital battleships games.
Okay.
Okay.
Kiwi Tiki. It's a side-scrolling kind of platform, collect 'em up. The key thing about it is its presentation and sound. It is a cute side-scrolling flower collect... I'll just go straight into Keith's summary. Cute side-scrolling flower collecting makes Kiwi Tiki appealing, but that sweet turns sickly when you discover there's no depth to this game. So basically, you go around collecting things, but you just kind of just don't die. 6 out of 10.
Okie dokie. I've got Darker Area, which is a review by John Mundy of a... it looks like a kind of first-person wandering around shooting game. And he has... it's written, created by Arkham Development. I'm afraid John didn't really like this very much. He's given it a 3 out of 10.
God, oh no.
God, I'm Napoleon Dynamite's it again. As poorly executed as it is poorly conceived, Dark Area slips up in so many areas, controls, graphics, level design, AI, that it stands as an excellent lesson in how not to make an iPhone shooter. So, yes. Not
two threes this week. What a disaster.
It's me who's dumber than a trench pony. The game that I just read out before Chris and Rob there was actually a mobile game because I'd failed to filter the iPhone reviews thing properly.
Idiot.
Yeah,
idiot.
Yeah, that's me.
We kind of let that go, Fraser. We were both looking at the street game.
This isn't in our
iPhone games. You just kind of went on with it.
So yeah, I know, you were very kind. It was a very charitable omission of my foolishness. But I
think
I had
you want Kingdom of Nesta. I think it might be what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Well, I like anyway, the way you said Kingdom of Nesta and Fraser kind of impatiently said, yep.
Yeah.
just read out the wrong thing.
Sorry. Yes, I'll wear the dunce hat for the rest of the day. The next game that we're going to talk about is Arachtroid. I reviewed this. I quite liked it. Gave it a 7. My sum up is Arachtroid's simple gameplay is loaded with possibility, which more than makes up for a lack of extra modes and so-so presentation.
Okay.
Lots of spider games lately.
Yeah.
Okay, so now finally, I guess it's Trenches, which we've already talked about. Tracy gave it 7 out of 10. A clever strategy game that needs additional modes and factions to complement its accessibility with depth. I think that is pretty much what we said.
That's true. I think we should probably include Kingdom of Nesta, because it got skipped over.
Yeah.
So, permission to describe that. So, Kingdom of Nesta... another Castle Studios, it's a puzzle type thing. It looks a bit Bejeweled-y, but with a nicer mouse a bit on the top of the screen. It's a bit different. Seems to be a bit of a mini game or something. It goes to the top there. Trace Erickson reviewed it, and he gave it 7 out of 10, saying it had a clever combination of platforming and puzzle play that requires polish before making a bid for the match 3 crown. So not top of the tree, but very good and worth playing.
So it's a fairly middling week, really.
Yeah.
Nothing, only one really good game. Lots of interesting ideas, but it's the beginning of January, I guess, the middle of January. And it's so far this month, I think it's fair to say, it's been quite slow, the games. Nothing, yeah. No bombshells.
I wonder if people are holding back some, you know, awesome games for the tablet.
Well, this could almost go in the rumour mine. There has been talk of that. People have talked about it, mainly us, with each other.
That's true. There were some people delaying games till March that there's no real reason for, which you can say otherwise.
Yeah.
So
that's you can add that to the rumour pile regarding the Ice Slate. But that could mean that it's a fairly slow couple of months, and then suddenly, March is going to be busy, isn't it? Mm. Not only is the unrelated... DSi XL coming out, but the tablet, if it comes out, will be coming out, and with it, lots of games. Chris, who's getting the Office tablet? Shotgun.
Oh, Well,
I think I need to test it first before it goes into the office.
You don't need a tablet. You don't have time. You're a busy man.
We'll see. I'm sure, Rob, you can look after it.
Well, it's a shotgun. I mean, it's basically law.
That's how it works. So that's up for reviews, isn't it? I think we've got a new section we're going to try and whip into.
We've got a special guest, I believe, waiting in the
wings. We've got a special guest. This is a new section which we're calling a Desert Island Apps. Insert our jingle here, Fraser. I can't have my voice in this in the place. So this is a new single. I'm going to be interviewing a celebrity guest each week who will be just talking a little bit about what they're up to, and then sort of selecting a few of the apps they'd like to take with them on a desert island. And I have to say that for the first our first guest, we've really pulled all the stops out.
This is a
scoop and a half, because I kid you not, ladies and gentlemen, we have on the line talking to me now the former president of the United States of America, George W. Bush Jr. Welcome, Mr. Ex-President, Mr. Bush. Are you there?
Howdy, Mr. James.
Thank you very much. Can I just say what a privilege it is to have you on our program. Have you being the first guest? We couldn't believe it when our booking agent pulled this off. So we are just
it's all downhill from here.
Yeah, we're stoked that someone so as important as you, would spare the time to appear on our little podcast. I understand you're a keen podcast follower, though. Is that correct?
I like podding. I like pods, and I have been known to cast.
Okay. That's good. One of the reasons we wanted to kind of get you in, especially this episode. We actually themed the episode in your honor, as a war themed episode. You are of course a legendary warmonger. How do you feel the wars that you kind of inaugurated are going? Do you keep tabs on what's happening in Iraq and Afghanistan? Is that something that interests you still?
Afghanistan is the capital city of Iraq, as we know, and as far as I know, there is war.
Okay, that's great. I'm glad to see that you're still up with current events then. So apart from monitoring your favorite programs like Fox News and so on, what else have you been up to these days?
It's interesting you should ask. My daughter recently bought me a device, and what I'm learning gradually is I can, if I press certain sequences of numbers on my device, then, and I hold it near my ear, then sometimes voices come from the device. I think sometimes there's even somebody on it with another device that's the same, and they're holding it, and not even in the same room. And I'm speaking to them, and we're talking through this device, and I believe it's called a mobile.
Yeah, indeed. So you're obviously very cellular
telephone. I like to stay as a president, as you should say, a war president. I did like to stay up to speed with technology. I was often. I was on the Google sometimes, and now I'm continuing that with a view to a future run for office.
Indeed. I'm not sure what office you could run for now, having been
the post office.
I ran for the post office.
Okay. Looking back at your achievements, I mean, what are you most proud of? You've achieved so much. You'll really stand out, I think, in history as being one of the the president, so, you know, really kind of got stuff done. I mean, under your watch, as you say, obviously there's been the decrease in global security. Your economy was really down the toilet. I mean, what are you most proud of in terms of what you achieved, do you think?
Well, that's difficult because I did serve 2 terms, unlike my father, and also unlike Bill Clinton. So because I was in office for such a long time, I did achieve a lot. You know, I instituted a military emigration program to the Middle East. So we got some people moving out there, living under the sun.
That's nice.
They got camel spiders out there. I think they're enjoying that a lot. We had Saddam bin Laden. Saddam bin Laden has been executed. Before we executed, we went ahead and we had a look in his mouth. I enjoyed that. I liked that. And also in the Oval Office, this didn't belong to me. This belonged to my predecessor. Bill Clinton. There was a Frogger machine in the office, and I got a high score. I have to admit, it wasn't quite as good as Bill Clinton's, but I made it across the road after a few years. Oh, I'm sorry, my phone's ringing. I think that's my postman. I think he's outside on his cellular phone. So I think that tells you where I am. I'm just going to have to go. Thank you very much.
So, George Bush.
So, Joel, we haven't quite got onto his apps yet. I don't know if George is coming
back. It's all right,
back.
I'm back. It wasn't my postman.
Okay. Well, George, what we'd like to do on Desert Island Apps is basically just for you to tell us the sort of apps that you're using on your iPhone. You know, what's your top
sure.
two or three apps you'd take with you on a desert island if you were invading it and you needed something to entertain yourself?
Well, I tell you, there's one app. It's not available anymore, but I used to really like it. And then Apple, I think, they banned it. But it was a game about what you had to do was you were in a kind of I've been in rooms like them. It's kind of like a press conference room with like a curtain at the back and chairs and what you had to do in this case was hilarious. You had to throw your shoe at a monkey in the room. I really liked it, and it's unfortunately gone.
That sounds strange. They banned that.
You had to throw a shoe at a monkey, and what I really liked about it is because I like to do that. I have monkeys, and I like to throw not only shoes, but I like that.
Well, there's lots of monkeys on desert islands, certainly.
So that maybe you could take your shoes off and throw them straight away. But so that'd be one app. Is there anything else you'd like to take with you? Is there any other apps that's is there anything kind of relating to your oil fortune or anything else you find useful to take with you? Something to read or
I like the numbers.
I like the numbers. So okay.
I'm pretty. I've got them memorized right up to 5. So I like those. I like to keep busy.
Fantastic. Well, that's brilliant. Well, that's great. Thank you so much for joining us. Before we you go, I just wonder if there's anything else you'd like to kind of say to the listening audience here, both in the USA, which I know you're very familiar with, and in Europe as well. We have some readers in Europe, in the United Kingdom states, and also in France. I know you're a big fan of the French. Is there anything you'd like to say to any of our audience before you go?
Well, really, I want to say at this time, my heart and my thoughts are going out to the people of Hawaii.
That's a beautiful sentiment. And on that note, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mr. George W. Bush Jr.
Thank
former
you.
President of the United States of America.
Thank you very much, sir.
Indeed.
Well, where was Rob doing all of that?
Did I miss
Rob?
Rob, where have you been?
Rob, you're never going to guess. We were just literally talking to George Bush.
No, I know. I saw the emails going back and forth beforehand. I knew he was booked.
God,
I can't believe I missed Bush.
God.
Oh, man.
Urinating the whole time.
Truth. Well, next week we have another star on, so, you know, we have to make sure you're ready for that, because I don't want to kind of keep missing this.
Certainly not.
So I guess that's... Sir, we forgot you're in charge, Field Marshal. Is that bring the end to our war special?
Absolutely. We're coming to the end of the campaign. At ease, men. I would like to instruct the listeners of this podcast to go to pocketgamer.co.uk and read what we write, the things we write, particularly the things I write, because they're so funny. And also give us a rating on iTunes. And aside from that, it's goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
And from me, sir, it's permission for Private Fraser to say, we're doomed, sir.
We're doomed!
Goodbye, sir.